This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're joined by Sophie and Amy because Kate's back at work today.
Back at the old salt mines, isn't she?
Yeah. So she's just got a new job at an SEO and marketing company. So I'm so excited for her. But I think it's been a little bit of a shock because she's been, well, so she was made redundant 4 months ago and has been doing a lot of work from home. But I think it's a huge shock when you've got to get up and your alarm goes at like 6:37.
Even just sitting in that peak hour traffic is a bit of a shock to the system. So Kate will be joining us next week though, but she's tired, isn't she? She's
tired.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. Well, Sophie, you had a busy Friday night because as everybody knows, we keep talking about your dog Archie and it's got to a point where you've decided he actually needs to be taken to puppy school.
Well, I think most puppies need to go. It's not because he's terribly behaved or anything, but it really took me back to school sitting in this puppy class. We were all having to sit, obviously, 1.5 meters apart. There were only six of us in the class and we had to all do that awkward thing where you have to introduce yourself to the class. And for some reason, even though I've been a reporter before, I do this podcast, I suddenly felt really nervous to say my name and where my dog was from and his age and everything. I don't know. Does anyone else get that where it's just that situation where you're put on the spot and you're expected to present something to the group?
I think the build-up's the worst thing because you're sitting there and you're listening to everyone else talk, knowing what, like, that you're going to have to go next and you're almost reciting in your head what you're going to say.
Yeah, and then I always end up speaking, like, super quickly. The other thing that was really funny was it was a bunch of teenagers basically taking the class and myself and a number of 40-year-olds were just sitting there with our pens and papers writing down everything they were saying because it was so useful. But the other thing that's filling me with a little bit of dread this week is I have homework to do and I also have to present again to the class about the history of Archie's breed.
Wow.
So that's pretty full on.
Yeah, that is full on. My weekend was fun because we had our Christmas in July party. Well, I say party, it was just you, me, Kate, and our boyfriends. But that was a lot of fun bringing out the Christmas decorations. And I went to the shops on the Saturday to pick a few things up and I had to stop and get some makeup. And I was waiting in line. And I know this sounds really, really odd, but there was a woman in front of me and she was asking the makeup artist to recommend particular makeup. And all I could do was stare at the woman because she was in front of me. And I looked down and she was wearing those scrunch leggings. Like, have
now,
you seen those?
I've actually Googled them, Amy. The correct term is scrunch bum leggings.
Sorry, scrunch bum leggings. So they're, for people who haven't seen them, they're basically a pair of leggings which really accentuates your ass. It literally looks like you can see, you know, your full crack of your ass. And
I feel so sorry for men though because obviously I'm straight, but I just can't help but stop and stare when I see a woman wearing these leggings because they are just so revealing and you're just, your eyes are just drawn to that area.
Yeah, well, the woman had a great ass, but I was like, why is she wearing these pants? Because they looked so crude and it was so funny because I feel like I must be getting old. I mean, I wear leggings, but these leggings are next level. They don't leave anything to the imagination.
Oh, I remember you mentioned these to me and it got us thinking of whether men actually started to wear these leggings, how humorous it would look.
Yeah, well, there's never a pair of, you know, there's no clothing which men wear which accentuate a certain item. Because you think of women, they will wear tops to accentuate their breasts and all of that kind of stuff. But could you imagine a man walking around with a pair of pants that makes his ass look big?
Well, even imagine if there was like a ruffled dick pair of leggings or something, how crude that would be.
How horrifying. Well, it was quite funny because on Sunday night, Dale got up from the couch to go to bed and it was hilarious because he had his sort of daggy track pants on and then he sort of wedgied them to make it look like he had a really pronounced ass. It was bloody hilarious. I would share the photo, but I don't know if that would go down too well with Dale. Now, let's get into our first topic. They're the internet forums and Instagram pages holding influencers to account. Thousands flock to the pages to have their say on their favorite or not so favorite influencers. Now, Sov, can you tell me about one of these pages, Celeb Spellcheck?
Now, this page, I have to say, it is pretty funny. It started off as an Instagram account exposing influencers' typos and grammatical errors. Now, two of the women who have been highlighted most are Steph Claire Smith and Sky Wheatley. Now, both are obviously influencers, and let's just say their spelling is not very good. So, for instance, Sky Wheatley has been shown up for not knowing how to spell handsome. She didn't realize that baby blues referred to postnatal depression. So there are a few little things that they have been picked up on along the way for.
I'm kind of not surprised because I do feel a bit bad for Sky Wheatley because she has spoken in the past about being dyslexic. But you've kind of got to take the posts as they are. They're meant to be a little bit of fun. And there's been a few other influencers that have been really on the target of Celeb Spellcheck. One of those is Lily Brown. So recently, Celeb Spellcheck shared a video of Lily where she denied having Botox. They then shared, you scroll along, and there's a video of her from a few years ago admitting to having Botox. So as we mentioned, this site is really holding influencers to account.
They're really on the pulse. And I suppose what is the difficult thing for these influencers is they're kind of getting caught up in their own web of lies. I mean, don't say something in one YouTube video and then reveal it in the next because you're just going to be shown up.
Well, the site really has evolved because it was first just a place where people would post spelling errors, but they have changed their content up and they have been calling a lot of influencers out. There's been some pretty serious allegations on the Instagram page. Some of them have been accusations of influencers cheating on each other. There's been drug claims. There's one particular influencer they keep saying has been seen snorting cocaine, and they have posted some pretty suspicious pictures of this person. It does make me wonder, will this site be sued soon? Because they are making some pretty outlandish claims.
Well, the page has been shrouded in a lot of controversy. The page has been covered by publications like the Herald Sun, which is pretty big in itself.
But positively, because I've seen it in the Daily Mail as well and the Herald Sun, but it was sort of like a bit of a puff piece on how funny this page actually is. Mm. We haven't yet seen any articles that I suppose are talking about this page in a negative light in terms of the fact that it is making some pretty potentially defamatory claims about some pretty well-known Australian influencers.
Well, it's interesting to take a look at who created the page. Now, for obvious reasons, the woman who created it, all we know about her is that she's from Melbourne and wants to keep her identity a secret. Now, we often see that with a lot of pages. For instance, in Adelaide, we have a page called Shit Adelaide, which is run by, we presume, a group of men who want to remain anonymous as well. So you never want to put your name out there, I suppose, when you are calling people into account, which does make me think about the validity of some of the statements being made if you're not happy to put your own name to it.
Look, I can understand why she doesn't want her name out there. I mean, it's a hard one because if she put her name out there, then other people would be following her and I suppose writing in nasty things. I actually think that a lot of influencers know who this person is.
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Herald Sun reported that she often clashes with the identities that she chooses to somewhat shame on her Instagram page. And she's been known to publicly post DMs of influencers asking her to remove certain things or her conversations with them. So she definitely doesn't back down when someone stands up to her.
It's pretty interesting she's talking to the Herald Sun because they would know who she is to be able to contact her. And I'm pretty sure the Herald Sun would be, the journos would be quite connected with other people. So it's pretty evident a lot of people would know who this person is. I actually read a rumor, and I'm just going to say, as I said, it is just a rumor, that she's friends with Michael Finch. And if you notice, Michael Finch is never on the page.
Mm.
But a lot of people are speculating that Michael Finch isn't friends with Lily Brown anymore. And if you notice, Lily Brown has been a hot topic of conversation on this Instagram account.
Well, that would be very juicy if it was true. There have also been rumors circulating that the page was hacked by another beauty influencer last year because it mysteriously disappeared around December of 2019 and it's resurfaced now, but it only has 3,600 followers. So it will be interesting to see how much that page grows in the next couple of months or whether people don't want to follow it anymore.
Well, that's interesting you mention about another beauty influencer potentially hacking the page because there's another hugely popular forum, which is called Gossip Guru. And this is an international website. It's been around since 2010. I've only had the pleasure of going on the page this week. And oh my gosh, I was shocked at some of the things people were saying and some of the influencers that were being discussed.
Well, I'm in two minds about the pages because I think that it's incredibly refreshing to have a forum or a place to go to speak about our favorite influencers. At the moment, obviously, influencers aren't quite mainstream. So, you know, whenever I find a new friend who follows the same people I do, all I want to do is have a conversation about that person. So it's great to actually have somewhere where we can discuss them.
Well, the thing is, with this forum, it is really petty conversations going on. It reminds me of sort of the petty conversations that we might have with each other, but I would never broadcast. Like, I would never go on this podcast and broadcast some of the petty shit that we talk about. But I feel like it's human nature because we're in a world now where these influencers are our celebrities, this generation of celebrities. Because, you know, you look at the gossip magazines and they're talking about Brad and Jen back in the day. Is there a difference between us hopping on a forum and talking about, say, Shani Grimmond and Tommy Bug?
Well, exactly. I mean, I think that we need to remember that these people who are being discussed have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of followers and subscribers. Now, many of these influencers that are being discussed, they don't seem to care about some of the terrible messages that they're pushing to children about plastic surgery or even sharing drug content on their pages. So I think that it's great that there is a page that is holding these people to account. I mean, just say, for instance, if Cleo magazine or Girlfriend or whatever magazines are still around, if they started sharing content about urging women to get plastic surgery, that just wouldn't be on because they'd actually have strict guidelines to adhere to. These influencers don't have these guidelines. We need to be holding them to account.
I don't know if this forum is particularly holding them to account. I feel like Celeb Spellcheck is kind of because it's this public forum where they're saying, oh, haha, look at this spelling error. But this forum is more a place where people sit and it's almost like this forum for hate following because the stuff that people are writing. So, for example, there is a whole thread on Shani Grimmond. There is a whole thread on Sarah's Day. There's just about every Australian influencer. There's a huge thread where people will pick on the most minute details. It's like, oh my gosh, did you see that picture in the background? Did you see the way they didn't shade their eyeshadow in properly, all that kind of stuff. It's quite comical because while these people criticize the influencers that they follow, you can tell that they watch every single one of their videos.
I mean, I don't think that that sort of commentary is helpful in any way, but I think when there's people holding influencers to account, perhaps over the misleading comments that they put out there or advertising that they definitely shouldn't be doing, I think that's helpful.
Oh, no, I get it. I mean, I'm also in two minds because I think it is good for there to be this kind of space where people can kind of just debrief about the kind of crap that's online. Because let's be honest, I will sit and watch an influencer's video and just scoff at some of the things that they think is sort of normal to put out there. I mean, I was watching an influencer the other day on her Insta story and she was just dead set bragging about her wealth, bragging about her parents' sports cars and this new apartment that she's rented that people couldn't afford. And this is during a time where people are losing their job and people can't afford things. And do you know what? I feel like it is kind of healthy to have that forum where maybe people are feeling a bit shit about how their life is going and they want to have a place where they can vent and say, oh my God, how ridiculous. And someone actually says, yeah, that is ridiculous. And it's also kind of healthy in a way because it's this sort of dark web kind of forum. So it's not like people are having to leave hate comments on the person's Instagram account. It's sort of a sort of secret space, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's better than them leaving these sort of thoughts and comments under the individual's Instagram page themselves. But I definitely think it's important to note, I think there's a difference in someone putting up a post that attacks someone and puts down their appearance. On the other hand, I think it's okay to criticize someone's actions that they may be doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's probably a lot of posts on this forum that are doing just that, criticizing people's appearance and being quite vile. But I do think it could be a healthy place where people could vent about stuff they've seen online, where they don't have to go and troll the person that they're talking about. But I also think it opens up a really interesting discussion. And we've spoken in the past before about hate following. And it made me think, though, because there are so many people on these forums discussing these influencers who they apparently can't stand in so much detail that they would watch everything they do. They know everything about them. I actually have this theory that a lot of influencers only exist because so many people hate follow them and don't genuinely like them or are interested in their life.
That is completely spot on. I think that we all enjoy hate following people. We all enjoy collectively eye rolling at their content. And there's this weird bit of me who I hate follow a number of influencers, I have to admit. And there's a part of me that hates them, but then sort of likes them, if that makes sense.
Oh, you like, get a kick out of it.
I enjoy hate following them.
Yeah, it's not like you hate them as a person, but you kind of just want to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they posted that because their ideologies are so different to yours. It's this sick kick of seeing how other people behave.
But then there's also a part of me that sees these people as characters, which can become an issue as well. And I think that's when people take trolling too far because they don't think it's a real person on the other end. So I think that's something that I probably have to think about more, that these people are real people.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever leave a trolling comment, but...
Well, the thing is, I personally would never actually join a forum like this and talk about the influencers, but I did find it interesting to hear people's thoughts about different influencers who I follow, because a lot of what they were saying, I personally actually have thought in the past.
Yeah, and you feel heard. You feel heard if there's this forum or community where people are echoing your private thoughts.
Yeah, but I do kind of think, I mean... Is there a time and place for it? I mean, if we have a conversation with each other or our best friend about different things influencers do, it kind of seems okay. But there is something around actually posting online, which seems a bit icky.
I think everyone's got to be mindful that the second you write those words and thoughts down, that's on the internet for a very long time.
And but it's not like Facebook where it's got your name.
Yes, but although, I mean, look at Reynolds from MasterChef who wrote something on a bodybuilding forum years ago. He was held to account for that recently. And I think we do need to remember that even though this may be in the dark, deep pits of the internet, there is still the chance that influencer might see it and it might cause them some sort of upset.
Well, just my point before, it actually came out that a number of beauty influencers were actually writing negative comments on this Gossip Guru site about some of their competitors. What do you think of that?
Did they have aliases or did they write them under their own name?
They didn't actually have different aliases. So basically, there are a lot of rumors about this particular website. And one of the strong rumors is that this website was hacked a number of years ago. And a lot of the email addresses associated with the different member accounts were leaked, and a lot of them turned out to be different influencers. So they were on there writing nasty comments.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because there's so many big YouTubers who end up doing videos where they read out their followers or their trolls' nasty comments. So I definitely think they would be keeping an eye on it.
Well, in the podcast world, I've heard of different podcasters leaving negative reviews on competitors' podcasts as well. So it happens everywhere.
We do have to remember that influencers spend a large chunk of their time at home. So it's safe to say that they probably are Googling themselves and perhaps coming across some of this content. I mean, it is incredibly hurtful when you do see something negative that someone has written about you. Now, I'm going to bring up the example of a number of years ago, we had an article written about the three of us. And there was a photo of us on there. And, you know, as you do, you check out what comments. This was posted on the advertiser's website. And some lovely gentleman decided to rate the three of us as who was most fuckable out of the three of us.
Okay, I was a bit hurt because I was rated least. And I must say, I was a little bit disappointed because I probably should have done my fake tan that day in hindsight. I probably shouldn't have let Kate curl my hair in this day. I'm just joking, of course. It was a complete dickhead who said that.
I mean, Kate, who's not here today, she was rated number one. So, you know, maybe we're just jealous here that this buffoon didn't find us attractive.
The thing is, I just think that if I was an influencer that had a million followers, I just wouldn't seek stuff out. I just wouldn't want to know what people were saying.
I think that would be incredibly hard not to. I think you've got to have a lot of willpower not to search what people are saying about you.
Oh, I think it's different if people are writing it on your actual Instagram account. But I personally, if I was an influencer and I saw there was a thread about me on this Gossip Guru site, I would go, nah, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to do that to myself.
Well, it is interesting because the very famous mummy blogger whose last name I cannot pronounce, Sophie Kashai, is it? I'm probably going to get that. Now, she recently wrote on Abby Chatfield's Facebook group about celebrity spell check and how it affected her. Now, she said that she has been targeted by this page for a number of years now, and it was for much more than just her spelling errors. She said she was targeted over her appearance, her kids were written about, she was accused of lying over the date of her son's birth, a number of different things. Now, she said that she responded to a number of these posts and said that the admin or whoever created the page, all they did was belittle her and humiliate her further on there. And she said that she believes the creator has absolutely no interest in holding people to account. She simply wants to embarrass people and to create a space for bullying.
Now, the comments that Sophie was complaining about, were they comments from other people on the post or were they the post itself?
I believe that they were comments left by other people. And this is where it brings up the really important issue of moderating comments. And now recent laws have passed that state that media companies and admins of Facebook pages can be held liable as publishers of comments posted on their page by members of the public.
And I'm assuming this is on Instagram pages as well.
Well, it actually doesn't specify. I went to look into it, but you can assume that that would be across all social media platforms. And it really shows that businesses and people who run these sort of accounts really need to be vigilant and implement a process for monitoring these comments.
Well, that's the thing, because sometimes I do think it's actually not the post that's that offensive. It's actually the comments that the post incites.
Yeah, definitely. But I suppose you've got to look back at the tone of the page as well. If the tone of the page is bitchy and critical, then that's the sort of comments that it's going to promote.
Well, we'd love to hear what you guys think about this topic. We'll be posting a thread in our Outspoken Facebook community page. So please hop on there and tell us all your thoughts.
Now let's get into the pit and peak of the social media week. Now for me, it has to be Chloe Zepp's recent Insta story about her pregnancy. Now she is just a week away from giving birth to Mitchell Orville's child. And I think she and he are in for one hell of a shock, safe to say. Now, the reason it's the peak for me is that I liked how real and raw she has been and was about pregnancy in this post. She talked about the fact that she's had so many fights with Mitchell, that her emotions have been so up and down, and she really wasn't feeling like herself at all.
Yeah, they always do keep it honest and raw, which I love. I actually found myself last night going back and watching some of their old YouTube videos. Clearly, there was nothing on Netflix to watch. And it was amazing how different Mitchell is now, because I watched a video where he must have still been partying and drinking and doing drugs, and he just looked so different. His eyes just looked different. He looked really sad, and it's pretty cool to see how much he has changed.
He just looks so healthy now.
He does.
I saw it. He posted a photo, and he has put on so much muscle. He's got so much skinnier. His skin just looks glowing. So it really shows you the effect that drugs and alcohol have on your system.
Now, what about the pit of the week?
Now, the pit for me has to be a post which appeared today from Tully Smythe. It was one of her and Kieran from Bachelor in Paradise.
So Tully, she used to have a podcast with Mamma Mia, but now she started her own podcast called Too Much Tully. And I'm actually really excited to listen to it. I've actually haven't listened to it yet, but she was announcing that Kieran was on her show. And in this post, she basically revealed that the pair had been dating since, I think she said January, which kind of spoils it for Bachelor in Paradise fans, because we all know that Bachelor in Paradise was filmed in November. I mean, having watched the show, it's pretty obvious Kieran's not going to end up with anybody. But
that being said, I have thoroughly got into Bachelor in Paradise this year like never before.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about that soon.
And it really pissed me off, though, for her to ruin it like this, because it's just so clear that she's trying to get publicity for her podcast. Now, she already had her influencer friends Olivia Rogers and Steph Claire Smith sharing about her podcast earlier in the week. You think that would have generated enough attention for it? But I don't know, I just find it a bit off. Like, surely these people have a right to stick to, you know, the people on the show have to stick to certain guidelines. I mean, look at Brittany Hockley. She's got her own podcast and she's not said a word about whether her and Tim are together.
Well, it's been pretty obvious that Tully and Kieran have been dating. I think we spoke about it on the podcast probably a month ago now, because there's been all these little photos of them together. But I think the thing that annoyed me was the way that Tully sort of stuck up for Kieran. She kind of almost played off his behavior on the show as just, you know, boys being boys kind of thing. And the tone, I just thought it was really off. And it was also, as you said, it was quite attention seeking, because she mentioned that they were, you know, dating, but then she also called Kieran a fuckboy at the end of it and said that he wasn't really interested in being in a relationship. So it left a lot of question marks.
She urged people to slide into his DMs if they wanted to. So, I mean, for me, I assume she was confirming that at some stage they were together, perhaps during the recording of that interview, but that relationship has subsequently fallen through, or it's an on and off type situation.
The interview was last week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, their relationship doesn't seem, it seems quite up in the air.
Now, we put the question to our Facebook community whether they wanted us to talk about news that Shameless, the podcast, now have a new sponsorship manager.
For any new listeners who may not know, back in May, we did an episode discussing and dissecting how Shameless's podcast had changed over time and how they were no longer holding influencers to account. Subsequently, Shameless's ex-manager now, Jen Day, left a negative review on our Apple Podcast review system. We decided to share this on our Instagram page.
And it blew up.
And it blew up, basically.
It blew up. And just, we wanted to just preface this. We have no hard feelings against the Shameless girls or Jen Day. It's all been forgotten about. But it was rather interesting, the move by Shameless to now actually employ somebody in their own team to handle their sponsorship, basically. And I think it's a fantastic move.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think Jen did have to be reprimanded for the fact that she did that on behalf of her client, which perhaps wasn't the way that they felt.
Exactly. It really wasn't a good look for the girls. And I think that it's great to see, I think, that they've stood up for themselves and they're distancing themselves, I suppose, from the controversy surrounding it.
I mean, just from a business perspective, I think it's a good move for them, because if Jen is taking 10 or 15 or 20% of their sponsorship,
or
30% of their sponsorship money, that is a huge chunk. Whereas you could just pay someone an annual salary, which is way less than what I assume they must be making for sponsorship money.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be so interested to see if there is a change in sponsors, because the girls have been, you know, hugely successful and have had a number of great partnerships with some big brands. So it'll be interesting to see if those brands continue to sponsor the podcast, or if they'll be getting sort of new sponsors we've not heard of on the show before.
Well, to be honest, I think the fact that they've been having sponsorships for about 2 years now, I think that they would have built up that connection with those sponsors. So I don't think it's that difficult of a job to keep that positive relationship going.
Yeah, well, from a PR perspective, I've always thought, I mean, it's a pretty easy sell, that podcast, to get sponsorship. They've had about 18 million downloads. The girls are, you know, well-liked, and they've got a huge following on Instagram. So to me, I think it'd be a pretty easy job as a partnership manager to be like, hey, you want to sponsor this podcast?
In saying that, I feel like if anyone has had a recent look at Shameless's reviews, they will notice that that barrage of negative commentary has continued on there. And it is showing that listeners are getting a bit sick of not being what they feel heard.
Yeah, but I think that people are commenting on their podcast page because they don't have their community anymore, and they feel that that's the only outlet that they have to leave their feedback. But that being said, it will be a really interesting one to watch. And again, come and tell us what you think. I suppose from a sort of PR and marketing perspective, what you think will happen, because it is a big and a bold move by the girls, and it'll be really interesting to see what does happen. Let's get into our reality TV wrap. And Sophie, we mentioned it before, but I am living for Bachelor in Paradise right now.
I'm obsessed. I don't actually remember a time that I've been more into an Australian reality show than this. I mean, I have been hooked. And thank God for 10's catch-up app. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, when Abby Chatfield left, I thought, oh gosh, this show's just going to be shit now. But wow, I feel like it's gotten even better.
I just love every episode there's a new controversy. Like, it doesn't lag at any point. There's always a new theme to focus on, which I'm really enjoying at the moment.
Well, the saddest thing, I suppose, that's come out this week from Bachelor in Paradise is the fact it's pretty evident that Tim and Brittany don't end up together. Because for those who follow the Daily Mail, you will have seen those paparazzi shots of Tim out, you know, out and about in Melbourne when people are allowed to go out with what looks like a new girlfriend.
Yeah, this deeply saddened me because I really wanted Brittany to find her penguin, as she calls it. I mean, I thought they were really cute together. I mean, they're complete opposites, of course.
This is going to sound really mean, but I think Brittany's too smart for Tim.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're, I don't know. It's hard to tell because I suppose we only see just a snippet of what he's actually like.
But you've got to think. So Tim lives with Kieran, and Kieran has come across as the biggest fuckboy. I had to explain this term to my mum the other day just to keep her up because she's pretty cool. So she needs to be kept up with the loop. But if Kieran's acting like that and they live together, you know they're going out together. I would assume that Tim's a bit of a fuckboy too.
Yeah, I mean, he always seemed quite in awe of Brittany. And even when Kira came in, he seemed very in awe of her. I don't know whether it was the celebrity surrounding them.
Yeah, well, Brittany is so stunning. So I could see why he's in awe of her. But yeah, as you mentioned, they're two pretty big names in the Bachelor franchise. So it might be the fact that he's watched... Well, actually, he said he'd only watch Brittany's series.
Mm.
You mentioned Kira. What have you made of her appearance on this series of Bachelor in Paradise?
Oh, I have loved it. I have loved every second of her on this show. She was the hurricane that they were talking about. She has been incredible. I have to say, on a completely different note, I'm obsessed with her hair.
It is cool.
Obsessed with it. How does she get it to stay like that in Fiji? Most of the others have this terrible hair that's just been hit with humidity.
Well, there's been the point brought up. Some people are questioning her motives for being on the show, and they're saying, is she just there to mess things up? Oh my God. Is she there for love?
Of course she's there to mess things up. They would have offered her big dollars to be on that show for the exact reason of stirring the pot. And I'm sorry, but why are some of the others there? I'm sorry, I'm sure Kieran and Tim could find someone else in the real world. Are they really interested in love, or are they interested in growing their profile? What's the difference?
Well, that's a good point. A lot of people have said that Kira has been really bitchy this year, because in the first season of Bachelor in Paradise, because obviously she came across as quite bitchy in Richie's series. In the first series of Bachelor in Paradise, she came across as really lovely. And I suppose it was partly due to the fact that she partnered up with Jared. What do you think of it? Do you think that she was being bitchy in it, or were you just sort of loving the fact that she was stirring the pot?
Well, I definitely felt sorry for Alicia because I do really like her. And I did love the fact that Glenn stood up for Alicia in that instance. So I definitely think that she was not being very nice. And if I was at that dinner party, she would have made me feel very uncomfortable. She's a very intimidating person. I think the fact that she appeared on Richie's series, which was so many years ago, the fact that she has so many Instagram followers, she is probably one of the biggest names to have come out of The Bachelor. I feel like she was quite condescending to some of the lesser known people on there.
Yeah, I mean, whether that's actually her or whether she's playing up to the character the producers want her to be, I suppose we'll never know. I did feel sorry for Alicia. I do really like her. She seems like a really cool girl. And you mentioned Glenn sticking up for Alicia. Oh my God, could Glenn get any better?
Oh, he's my favorite on there. He seems like such a sweetheart.
He's the dreamboat of the franchise. Yeah. He got no airtime in Angie's series, and now he's sort of the hottie of the show.
Yeah, I love how Bachelor in Paradise turns out. The people who didn't get noticed suddenly seem to be noticed on him.
I know. What about Jamie? Because Jamie has been, I suppose, one of the big stars of this year's Bachelor in Paradise, because he is such a unique individual.
I actually quite like him. Like, I actually kind of feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him. I think some of the stuff that's been shown probably shouldn't have been shown. Like, they're laughing basically at him, but
I think he's just misunderstood. I think he's actually, this sounds awful, but very unintelligent. And I think that perhaps he's just not getting how he's coming across.
Yeah. Well, one issue I had with Jamie, although I like him, was the fact that he seems to be gaslighting Brittany.
I feel really sorry for Brit. She's really grown on me. When she first came in, I was like, oh my gosh, she's full on. But now as it's gone on, I think she's really funny and cool and out there. And I do feel a bit sorry for her. But at the same time, I feel like she's just got to put an end to it.
She does, but I do feel like he is leading her on, because even he couldn't even have a straight conversation with her and say, you know, I don't want to be with you. Did you see when she asked him if he wanted to have sex with her? It was so awkward. It sounded like he wanted to have sex with Tim over her.
God, that whole relationship with Tim is just hilarious. I mean, when he was crying when Tim was threatening to leave, I think that's the funniest segment on reality TV I've ever seen. It was bloody classic.
I love when Tim's like, I'm not dead, I'm coming back. Well, the other huge talking point is, of course, Kieran's behavior. And I could not believe when he jumped into bed with his ex, Renee.
Yeah, I actually couldn't believe that he allowed himself to look like such a douchebag like that. I mean, obviously they know that there's cameras in those little huts.
I know, it is incredible. Did you feel sorry for Jess, or were you just like, oh?
I think the way that the producers have put it together, it portrays her as being very swept up and caught up in him and very in love with him, despite it being 6 days. I did feel sorry for her, but at the same time, she didn't mind coming in and stealing him from Abby.
Now, just touching on other Bachelor news, did you see that Ali and Tate have broken up?
I did see that. It took me by surprise, particularly because it was a very oddly worded breakup message.
Yeah, well, they'd been separated, I think I read, for about 88 days during COVID, because I think Ali went up to stay with her parents in Queensland and he was in Victoria. And so basically there was lots of posts of them reuniting, and it seems that they must have now called it quits after being back together
bloody
for a few
COVID.
Weeks.
COVID's ruining everything for everyone.
I honestly think it is COVID.
Well, I mean, the phrasing of it was very much that they're on a break.
And yeah, it's like Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, and that they may choose to come back together at some point. So it would make sense that it was COVID related if they are having to live long distance from one another.
No, they were back together. The interesting thing is they have started this business together, this gym business. So I don't know what's going to go on there. I think they've jumped on Instagram and put this post out because they don't want the same speculation that Angie and Carlin got. Because you remember, just before they broke up, they'd stopped posting Insta stories together. They'd stopped posting photos, and everyone was commenting and saying, what's happened?
Well, I find it really sad because I feel like, not that age matters, but I feel like Ali is at that age where she is really searching for someone long term. So it does make me sad that, you know, she's gone through that whole experience of being on The Bachelor, thinking that you found your person and now you're back at square one. What I am disappointed at is that this breakup didn't happen before Bachelor in Paradise, because
I know
she would have been epic on there. All the guys bloody drooled over her the previous season she was on.
I know. I used to actually work with Ali at Mix, and she is such a kind person. So I was personally really sorry to see that, because she is genuinely one of those people that you can tell she just wants to be in love, and she would worship the guy that she's with. So you never know. Maybe if they're, you know, if flights start flying to Fiji again, we might see Ali return to Bachelor in Paradise next year.
Hopefully. Now let's get into Awkward Turtle. And I have to say, I'm very relieved because this segment is not centered on myself.
Yes, unfortunately, this segment is featured on me and something incredibly embarrassing that happened on Monday morning.
Now you kind of frantically called me to have to, I suppose, unburden yourself with this embarrassment.
Okay, so let's just paint the picture here. So on Sunday night, my stomach was a little bit upset. I've been eating lots of healthy food. I think we all know where this story's headed. So basically, I've been in a relationship for nearly 2.5 years.
Gosh, has it been that long?
Yeah, this it's actually August 10th. It will be 2.5 years.
Oh, how lovely.
I know. And in all of that time, I have never audibly farted in front of Dale. Until Monday morning.
I can see where this is heading.
So I woke up on Monday morning at about 5 a.m. because Dale's been getting up really, really early to go to work. And I turned over and he had a bit of a smirk on his face. And so I was like, oh, what's going on? And he told me to look at my phone. But I pressed him for more information and he insisted that I look at my phone. And so this message read, 4:30 a.m. Monday, the 27th of July, 2020. First audible fart Dale has ever heard Amy do. Laughing face and a kiss. Then I have a second message that says, and 4:45 a.m. I was so embarrassed.
Do you know what I have to say about that whole situation? I think it's very unfair. Who the hell is up at 4:30 to monitor these farts? That's when you get your sneaky farts out.
I know.
The nighttime.
And I was asleep. And I'm going to blame my new healthy regime because I have been consuming magnesium every night before I go to bed. And apparently that's meant to sort of relax all your muscles. So I had no control of my bodily function. And to make the matter even, well, not worse, but then Dale at 5 a.m. decided to make me feel better by doing a loud fart. And anyway, it was actually quite funny because when he went to work, he sent me a text because we just had Christmas in July on the weekend. And he said, do you want this for your next Christmas jumper? And it was literally a t-shirt that said, I love farts. And yeah. I said, you farted this morning.
Well, that's what
well.
Happens when you leave it for so long. It builds up into it being such a big deal.
I know. So now I can just drop my guts. Yeah. I'm not going to be.
I think that's all we have time for. But before we go, I wanted to provide a little bit of an update on my rental situation that has been providing me with a lot of anxiety and upset at the moment.
Well, we did have a bet going on in the Facebook community, and a few people have been asking, have you rented your property?
Now, a good friend, Damo, who is in the community, he guessed 22 days. Now, that was because of our love for Taylor Swift and, of course, her song 22. Now, I liked that guess. Now, it is coming up to, I believe it is day 19. Ooh. But I have had some refreshing news today.
Ooh.
Apparently, two people have actually applied for the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, whether they approve by the landlord will be a different story. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Now, is it when they're approved or when they actually move in?
I think it's when they actually move in and we have to stop paying rent. So there's a few days. Now, Damon, your answer could be true if they want to move in straight away.
Well, I said 4 weeks, so I could be bang on because that will be 28 now, days.
Is there a prize? I feel like we need some sort of prize for whoever is closest.
Yeah, we can work something out.
Yeah, we'll pull a few strings. I don't know what the prize will be, but we'll get thinking about that.
Got a few pairs of Modi Body underpants. I don't know if they'd work with Damo, but you never know.
Yeah, that's right.
These obviously aren't used, but a fresh pair. All right, well, I think that's all we've got time for. If you did enjoy this episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Insta story and don't forget to tag us. And if you do love the podcast, please subscribe to it and also leave us a review because it really does help out the show. And also join us in our Facebook community because there's some really fun conversations going on. So we'd love if you could join us in there too.